This message was preached at Trinity Remnant Church, Pella, Iowa, by Reverend Benjamin Blossom Anemheyer on September 21st in the year 2025. This is the Word of God. Our text is from Romans chapter 1 verses 1 through 7. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week, we started a series of sermons on the letter Paul wrote to the Christians in Rome. I mentioned that Paul had two reasons for writing to them: to introduce himself to them as a new man who is now a slave of Jesus Christ, a called apostle, and a man set apart reserved for the gospel. Secondly, he wanted to tell them more about the gospel and encourage them to live as God's people. We covered Paul's introduction of himself last week. Today, we will look at the second reason for the letter, the gospel. What is the gospel? If you were asked to define the gospel, what would you say? In the book of Acts 2, verse 44, Luke, commenting on the Christian, says, "And all who believed were together and had all things in common." That immediately raises a question. What did the Christians believe such that they had all things in common? They were separated from everyone in the world because they believed in a message. So what was this message that this group of people was committed to? What did they believe that changed the way they thought, spoke, lived? They believed the gospel. The gospel simply means the good news. President Trump could describe his presidential election win as good news. Receiving a gift can be good news. Finding a loving spouse can be good news. However, winning an election, receiving a gift, or finding a loving spouse, even though they may be good, do not last forever. Paul and the rest of Scripture tell us that the good news described in the Holy Scriptures is really good. It is good because it has eternal consequences. It is good because it lasts forever. Scripture not only tells us about the good news, it also tells us about the bad news. So what is the bad news? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3 verse 23 Scripture tells us that every human being born was born in sin. We were born with a nature that loves to sin. We were born with a nature that loves to reject God in every aspect of our lives through our disobedience. It doesn't take children that long after birth to start disobeying their parents, telling lies, taking what doesn't belong to them, etc. Where did all these destructive behaviors come from? I might not know each of you personally. One thing I know about all of us seated here or watching us or even reading this sermon is that we were all born in sin and we were or are on our way to hell because sinners are the enemies of God and must die. Just as Scripture tells us that for the wages of sin is death, Romans 6 verse 23. This is eternal death or hell. All sinners will go to hell. But where did we get this sinful nature from? Where did our children get these destructive behaviors from after a few months after birth? Scripture tells us the origin of our sinful nature. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, 1 Corinthians 15 verse 22, we got it from the first man who ever lived, Adam. Adam sinned and passed on the sinful nature to all his descendants who were born after him. This is the bad news. Through Adam, every human being was on their way to hell. The bad news is, therefore, about a man named Adam and the sinful nature he has passed on to us. If you are not yet a believer, the bad news for you is this. You are on your way to hell because of Adam. You disobey God because of Adam. You hate others because of Adam. Adam is the heart or center of the bad news. Adam is the bad news. Now let us look at the good news of Jesus, or the gospel Paul presents. What is this gospel that we are committed to as a church? Paul tells us that we need to know four things about the gospel as presented in the Bible. First, what is the origin of the gospel? Where did the gospel come from? In Romans 1 verse 1, Paul writes, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. Paul said the gospel of God. He traced the origin of the gospel to God himself. The gospel has its source and origin in God. The gospel is not a message about people and what they have achieved. It is not about how to prosper when you do certain things. Rather, it is all about what God has done. It is a message about the initiative of God. So the true gospel takes our eyes and attention off ourselves and directs them to God. The gospel is a message about how to glorify God. So, the origin of the gospel is God. The gospel did not come from Paul or any man. Paul said this to the believers in Galatia. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. Galatians 1 verse 11. Now we will look at the testimony or witness of the gospel as our second point. How do we know that this gospel is authentic? As I mentioned last week, Paul had wanted to end Christianity because he believed that the Christians were blasphemers and they were spreading an unknown message. So, how do you show that this good news is the truth? We find that in verse 2 of our text, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, God used a medium to communicate the gospel to us, and it's by Scripture, the Bible. You can't find the gospel in other books or traditions, but in Scripture and Scripture alone. It is a biblical gospel. The Old Testament shows that this is not a new gospel. God has promised it through the Old Testament prophets, such as Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, etc. For example, in Romans 1 verse 17, he quoted Habakkuk 2 verse 4. Also, in Romans 2 verse 24, he quoted from Isaiah 52 verse 5 to make the point that when you want to fully understand the gospel, the Old Testament is a place to start from. Let us listen to a conversation between Jesus and two men after he resurrected from the dead. Luke 24 verses 13 through 27 now. That same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels, who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." Luke tells us in verse 27 that Jesus opened up the Old Testament. starting from Genesis, to explain to them that he was the person the Old Testament talked about. He was the promised Savior, Messiah in the Old Testament, but has now been revealed in the New Testament. The salvation he brought was promised in the Old Testament, but revealed in the New Testament. Paul also directed his audience to the Scripture whenever he presented the gospel, as written in Acts 17, verse 2. And Paul went in, as was his custom, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the Scriptures. This means there is nothing like a different salvation for the Old Testament people and a new one for the New Testament. God designed our salvation from the beginning of the world, but chose to promise it in the Old Testament and only revealed it in the New Testament. It is not an afterthought after Adam sinned. So, the origin of the gospel is God, and the testimony of the gospel is the Old Testament. Thirdly, we will look at the essence or heart of the gospel. If Adam was a heart of bad news, who is the heart of good news? Thirdly, what is the essence or the heart or the center of the gospel? This is what Paul tells us. Romans 1 verse 2 to 5. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his Son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. In verse 3, Paul tells us that the heart of the gospel is the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the gospel is not about some laws we have to follow. It is not about some creeds we have to recite. It is not about some catechism we have to memorize. But it is a person. The gospel is about a person. It is about knowing a person, and he called him the Lord Jesus Christ. It concerns God's Son. To know and understand the gospel means to know and understand Jesus Christ. Paul had told the Colossians who the center of the gospel is. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. Colossians 1 verse 28. So, in preaching the gospel, we must point people to Jesus Christ, who he is, what is done, is doing, and will do as the center of our message. Salvation means you have received Jesus, and he knows you as his own. The Christian is someone who is Christ living within him or her. Galatians 2 verse 20, Paul wrote, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul then tells us two things about Jesus Christ, the man at the heart of the gospel. First, he was fully human while on earth. In verse 3, regarding his Son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, Paul traced Jesus' humanity to David. We all descended from others, our parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, etc. Jesus also traces descendants to David. In every form, he was fully human. He took on human flesh, a body like all of us. He experienced the same weakness we do. He needed companions like we do, so he chose 12 friends to be with him. He ate and drank like us. On the cross, he experienced the same pains everyone would have in such a situation. This is what Paul told the Christians in Corinth in 2 Corinthians 13 verse 4. For be sure, he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by God's power. Likewise, we are weak in him, yet by God's power we will live with him in our dealing with you. Secondly, Paul then tells us that he was not only fully human, but he was fully God. He is fully divine. He is the God-man, the man who is also God, and he is God who became a man. In Romans 1 verse 4, Paul wrote, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. His divinity was made known to all after his resurrection as the first man who ever rose from the dead and lived forever. Paul called him Lord, meaning he deserves to be worshipped as God, obeyed, and lived for. Other people like Lazarus rose from the dead, but they died again, but Jesus didn't die again. After his resurrection, he no longer kept the perishable body we have as part of his human nature, but fully revealed himself as God, and he did that with power, greatness, and most importantly, he lives forever with an imperishable body. He is not the only person who would experience this. He is the first to resurrect and lives forever with an imperishable body, but others will follow in his experience. The gospel tells us that anyone who makes this Jesus their Lord will have the same experience he had. When they die, they will resurrect and live forever with an imperishable body. Our heavenly imperishable bodies, like Jesus Christ, will differ from our earthly ones, will be in splendor and power, and will live forever. 2 Timothy 2 verse 11 here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 20-23. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ the firstfruits, then, when he comes, those who belong to him. Fourthly, now we will look at the fruit of the gospel. Paul tells us that the origin of the gospel is God. The witness of the gospel is the Old Testament. The heart of the gospel is Jesus Christ. And now, he tells us about the gospel's goal, fruit, and purpose. What is the fruit of the gospel? Paul writes in Romans 1 verse 5-7, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul tells us that the purpose of the gospel is to call people to Christ. It is to call people, everyone from all backgrounds, who are burdened by the bad news of going to hell to receive the good news of going to heaven for the sake of his glory. The gospel calls people both to believe and belong to Jesus Christ. This leads to a complete trust in God or a commitment to God, which is the fruit the gospel produces in the lives of true believers. Those who belong to God will be known by their true saving faith, which leads to true heart repentance. They become obedient to God because they have a true faith. They will also be eager to go out and tell others about their great salvation. They don't want to keep it to themselves. Paul said he was set apart for the gospel because he could not keep this great news to himself. All must hear it. We must always be concerned that the gospel we receive is a truth, especially when we keep sinning and do not see any change in our lives after we have believed this gospel, because the gospel always produces fruit. The gospel Paul believed changed him from a murderer to a holy man of God, and God throughout history does the same with everyone who truly believes. The fruit of the gospel is not just church attendance, a profession of faith, but our obedience. The next thing we will look at is the goal of the gospel as our fifth point. The main question we should ask is why God did all these? Why did he have the salvation of sinners in his mind before the world began? Why did Jesus come down to suffer to save sinners? Why does the Holy Spirit convince sinners to believe this gospel? Paul tells us why in verse 5. Through him we receive grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. The Trinity is involved in this great salvation not primarily because of the salvation of sinners, but for the glory of God, for his name's sake. God's people are motivated to spread the gospel to everyone primarily because some rob God of his glory, and we cannot allow that to happen. In Isaiah 42, verse 8, God said, I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. So, we use the gospel to call people who rob God of his glory, his lordship, to repent and submit themselves to the lordship of Jesus Christ. The gospel, therefore, has as its goal the glory of God. Lastly, what is the relationship between the gospel and the church? Another word to describe the church is a gospel people. The people in the church must be committed to the gospel. So before you join the church, you must make profession that you are and will be committed to the gospel. Any church that replaces the gospel written in Scripture with any other gospel eventually fades away. There is no church without the gospel as revealed in the Old and New Testaments. A booming religion is not a sign that God accepts their worship or that it is a church. First, the gospel, therefore, creates a church because the gospel calls us to believe and belong to Christ. Secondly, the gospel also motivates a church to go out and tell others about Jesus Christ, the mighty one who saves. His glory must not be robbed by others. So we go out to tell other people to repent and give Christ his glory. Thirdly, the gospel also unites the church. Our different backgrounds do not matter when the gospel is present. Luke had told us in Acts 2, verse 44, that all the believers were together and had everything in common. Within a denomination, we can have churches having different opinions about how often to observe the Lord's Supper. We can have different views on baptism, leadership, etc., and none of these views can divide the church. However, when the gospel is tampered with, the church usually divides. The church splits when there are opposing views about who Jesus is, what he has done, what he is doing, and what he would do. As you are aware, this was a letter Paul wrote. In the ancient world, their letters started with the sender's name, the receiver's name, a greeting from the sender to receiver, and a prayer regardless of the person's religious beliefs. In the greetings in our letters, we use Dear Mr. or Dear Mrs. to tell the receiver that they are dear to us. The Jewish people use Shalom, and the Greeks use grace as their greetings and letters. Paul used peace and grace in his letter in verse 7 to confirm the unity the gospel brings among all believers. The gospel has united both the Jews and the Greeks. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 1 verse 7. The gospel does not know colors, nationalities, educational status, etc. It brings everyone to the obedience of Jesus Christ for his name's sake, for his glory. Paul was zealous about going everywhere with the gospel because he had tasted it and was convinced that Jesus Christ was a great Savior. This means no matter the greatness of your sins, no matter how much guilt you feel, no matter how far you are away from him, Jesus Christ is a great Savior. He saved a murderer like Paul and made him his apostle. He saved a tax robber like Matthew and made him his apostle and disciple. And he is doing the same thing among us. Do you want to know what Jesus did for the chief of sinners? This sinner killed Christians, wanted to destroy the church, and when he received the great salvation, he wrote here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. 1 Timothy 1 verse 15. The Bible has presented both the bad and the good news to us. In Adam, we all sinned and deserve hell, and in Christ, God has provided a way to be free from the consequences of sin, which is eternal damnation or hell. This good news will not be there forever. A time will come when it will be too late to receive it, either by your death or the second coming of Jesus Christ. Why not believe this great news now and be part of the people who will resurrect from the dead and live forever with God and other believers? This is the greatest news ever in the history of the world. Why deceive yourself or allow others to fool you into believing that your life is better without Jesus? Why think that you can find peace in your career, education, and social status without Christ in your life? Why do you believe that your life can be better without Christ? He is the only one who could pick up sinners and make them saints, holy people through the gospel. Is the gospel the most important, the greatest news in your life? That God Himself came down from heaven, took up a human body, put all your sins on Himself, died the death of sinner, but rose again because He is God. He did all that to get you a place in heaven, to give you the opportunity to rise up again after your death and live eternally with Him in heaven. At the same time, He will pour out His anger on those like you who refuse to believe in His salvation, as written in the gospel. If He could save Paul and keep him, He will do the same for you and me. Paul saw nothing as important in this world as the gospel, so he said his life was separated, set apart, reserved for the gospel. What about you? Have you experienced the power of this gospel? As Scripture has told us, the gospel is about receiving a person, and it's not a feeling. It is not about having pastors or elders put their hands on you. It is not about following commands, creeds, making professions, etc., but about receiving a person. Have you received this person, the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you had an encounter with Him yet? Is He the one who directs the activities of your life, how you speak, think, dress, places you go to, etc.? Through the gospel, the Holy Spirit changes us and continues to change us. When the Holy Spirit has finished His work in us, we will become more like Jesus Christ. The person who has received the gospel and believed it will desire to know more and understand who Jesus is. True Christians want to grow in their spiritual life. They want to be obedient to their Lord, as Jesus Himself said. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Matthew 5, verse 6. The gospel is good news because God is good and loves us. It takes love for Him to plan this salvation for us. It takes love for Jesus to come down from heaven, to take on a human body, live like us, yet did not sin, took upon Himself our sins, past, present, and future, and will someday resurrect us to be with Him forever. It takes love to assure us that by believing in Him, we already have eternal life, even before our death. It also takes love for the Holy Spirit to help us understand this great salvation. It takes love for the Holy Spirit to work in us to believe and obey Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, what a great Savior. Let's pray.